Broadcasting from the confines of an abandoned radio station in the secluded ghost town of High Strangeness. It's just outside of Area 51. And it's time for full disclosure of the topics they told us were off limits. Hello, everybody. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM, broadcasting from the 840 WHAS studios of iHeartMedia in Louisville, Kentucky. That's home of the Little Red Corvette and other colors, too. Post-it notes, yep, we all love those. And the nation's first oil well, yep, that was right here. Tonight, real ghost stories and real stories of the dead. Mortician Stanley Swan is our featured guest tonight. He's got three decades of what happens physically to our bodies after we die. And before that, paranormal investigator Dave is going to be with us, a good friend of mine. So we're going to be talking to him first with some real good scary ghost stories and maybe some other stories outside of ghosts, but that's Dave Spinks. So time now, folks, to turn off the lights and join me for another interesting evening of conversation, much needed education, and the chance that we might get a little closer to the truth of what lurks amongst us and what is beyond. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM. You're listening to Coast AM. Hi, everybody. I'm Connie Willis, and good night. Ghost stories, spooky stuff, scary stuff that other people have experienced, as well as stuff that we'll experience one day with friends and relatives, as well as ourselves. So we'll get to that if you haven't heard what's going on tonight. Before that, I want to take some time to thank some people. A lot of you have, since being on Coast a little over a year now, have invited me to special groups, Facebook and other groups outside of that, and conferences, and to speak and to go research with you. And I want to say thanks, because that's a blast. That's what it's all about for me, is to experience it and talk about it that way from an experience point of view, as well as getting out there and experiencing it. That's what it's all about to me. Also want to thank you all for your prayers for my mom, who is out. Well, she's in rehab. She comes back home next week. So thank all of you for your prayers. And Dave Schrader headed a lot of that too. So thanks, Dave. That was great. I really appreciate that. Also, I want to thank Sasquatch Man and son of Sasquatch Man, who took me out since I've been in Kentucky to show me some really cool areas of interest. That's all I can say. But wow, pretty cool stuff. Also, Charlie Raymond, founder of the Kentucky Bigfoot Research Organization. Getting to know Charlie, I'm looking forward to going out with him and doing some things. All the Bigfooters know that I'm into Bigfooting, so I really thank all the people that reach out to me about that. Another eyewitness turned researcher is Todd Neese, founder of the American Primate Foundation. That's an organization committed to proving the existence of Bigfoot, and it's great to get to know him and hopefully be doing some future work with Todd. And Christopher Garantano, if you remember Montauk Chronicles, he did that film for us and talked to him a couple times here on Coast to Coast. He's got a Bigfoot film coming out, and that'll be in October, so I'm looking forward to that. And again, like I always like to say when it's talking about Bigfoot, is I know they exist, I just don't know what they are. And we're all going to look forward to finding out what that is, right? But before that, here's a guy that a friend of mine, I've got to play around and do some researching with him as well and get to know him. He will look for Bigfoot, he will look for ghosts, he will look for demons, he will look for all sorts of different things, because he's like me. He wants to feel it, experience it, and he wants to try to put the pieces of the puzzle together too. So he and I relate very well. It's Dave Spinks. How are you tonight, Dave? Oh, did we lose Dave? Oh my gosh. Everybody, that's Juan. He's new to the show as well, so I guess we had something happened there. But Dave and I, we met before with this Country Roads Paranormal. I actually was interviewed by them. And then we met out in California with Anthony Sanchez's group with Paranormal Shock TV. And we got to do some researching with Weatherly as well. And you all know him with Black Eyed Children. And we had a good time. And Steve Hoff as well. We got a good time, had a good time going to different places and researching, and really did find some stuff. And it was pretty creepy scary, because I know at one point this darn thing pushed me down the steps, and we didn't get it on tape, but We thought we did because we thought the cameras were pointing right then and there, but we ended up not getting it. Dag nabbit. I know everybody in the group right now that's listening is going, dag nabbit, we had it. But anyway, so I think Dave is with us here. So how are you, Dave?
Hey, Connie, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. That's the evil entities working against us. They don't want you telling your secrets of anything, I guess. Right?
It happens.
So, Dave, as I'm talking about the way that you like, you're a paranormal investigator, you like to investigate many things out there because, again, like me, you want to try to pull the pieces of the puzzle together. So tell me why you are different than any of the other ghost hunters or paranormal investigators.
Well, I think I'm different in some aspects. I mean, you know, I have a pretty extensive law enforcement background along with a military background, and I think that enhances my investigative abilities to some extent with my mode of investigating and research and questioning when I'm actually trying to communicate with spirits and whatnot.
When you say military, which military were you in?
I was in the Air Force for 8 years, and then I was in the Army Guard for 1 year, so I had 9 years total military service.
Okay, I was thinking you had a couple things. And what about law enforcement? What did you do with the law?
I was a federal law enforcement officer, and I worked for the Federal Bureau of Prisons, and I did a lot of inmate transportation all across the country of high priority inmates, such as terrorists and killers and the whole nine yards.
So what's scarier, terrorists or ghosts?
I would say, to me, people are more scary than spirits, for the most part.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what a person is capable of possibly doing, but you don't know about the other, right?
Exactly. You know, some of these investigations I've been involved with, you know, I've been scratched by unseen forces. I actually had a blood vessel bust in my eye for no apparent reason when I was experiencing activity.
Ooh.
And a recent investigation, something actually cracked my head open a little bit.
What?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, let's get to it. Let's tell us that one there. What? So basically, too, by the way, Dave has been like traveling the country and just doing what, you know, everybody would love to do is go researching into the paranormal. I mean, you have been traveling. Tell everybody where you've been and then tell us about getting your head cracked open.
Oh, my God, I've been all over the place, Connie, as you well know. I mean, I've been traveling all over the country, primarily in the Midwest this past, I would say, 8 months to the year. Been doing a lot of investigations in Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky area, and also as well as Pennsylvania. And the incident I was telling you about with my head being, you know, actually cut open by something. I don't know what it was, but I was with my good friend David Weatherly, and we were at a location called the Rhodes Hotel in Indiana. And we were doing a ghost box session in the bathroom, and I went in there to set another piece of equipment up because he was getting some really good responses. And I bent over to set this piece of equipment on the floor, and it was what they call a static meter. It picks up high static electricity charges, and it lights up so it's people on the camera can see what's going on and what we're picking up. And we try to use those devices to enhance our investigation, you know, because if you're getting hits on multiple pieces of equipment, that just, you know, shows that there's really something going on there that could lead to be possibly paranormal. So I set the piece of equipment down, and I felt a wave of energy hit me, and I stumbled backwards, and I got really, really dizzy. And he said, What happened? I said, I don't know. I just felt like something, you know, hit me like a wave of energy, and I felt the wind from it, and I got really dizzy. And he's like, you better sit down, man, you don't look good. So I went and sat down behind the camera, and he was running the ghost box, and he said, what did you do to Dave? And clear as a bell, a response came, says, I hit him.
Oh.
And then he said, what'd you hit him with? It said, a shovel, and it did like a little chuckle, like that. And we were like, what? You know, I couldn't believe that he actually got those responses after I felt that wave of energy hit me.
Wow.
While that's going on, I kept feeling something like messing with my head, these little tickling touch type sensations. And I said, stop messing with me. You know, I just call out sometimes when I feel like something is messing with me. and it kind of dissipated. So we, about 10 minutes later, you know, I said, we need to end this session. I'm not feeling too good. So we went downstairs. And a lot of this was on a live feed on my channel, so a lot of people saw it happen. And when we went downstairs with the other people that were with us, I felt tickling on my head, and I put my hand up there, and lo and behold, my fingers were full of blood.
Ooh, wow.
And everybody, I said, man, look at this. And everybody was, you know, surrounding me, taking pictures. I have pictures of it and everything. And it was just one of those crazy, crazy experiences. You know, I've been doing this for almost 30 years now, and I've only been physically attacked, I would say, a handful of times, you know, and that was probably the worst, where something actually drew blood.
Well, even once is enough here. So you're founder of CRPTV and CRPI. What are those?
CRPTV is just a YouTube channel I have that I actually do live investigations on. What you see is what you get. CRPI was Country Roads Paranormal Investigations was the name of my investigation team, but it's really just me. But I also work with all kinds of folks in the paranormal. Many, many folks you will see on my channel that are well, well known in the paranormal field. And it's not just spirits. You know, I research UFO sightings, unknown creature, cryptid sightings, and reports of paranormal activity involving spirits.
Well, you know, that's where you and I are very similar, because, you know, you want to study and research it all, because there's a connection. There's just got to be. There's just something. You got to try to pull it together. You know, you don't even know what it is you're trying to pull together, but you know that there's something there. I mean, like, you know, like a lot of people will say, I know what this is. You know, this is when a voice comes to me, this is what it is. Well, what do you say to that? What are your theories to what it is that you're investigating and what's happening around you? Do you have any?
Some of my theories are, you know, I don't feel personally that we know exactly what we're communicating with, because without a shadow of a doubt, there's no way to prove it, you know, at this time. Will we one day have that way to prove something? We may not. Are we supposed to know what happens to us after we die? I don't know. That's some of the questions, you know, that we seek doing paranormal investigations. It's one of man's greatest questions, Connie. You know this. I mean, what happens to us after we die? Do we just die and that's it? Or do we turn into some form of energy and go somewhere else? I mean, what happens? Why are there spirits still here with us? You know, I know I'm communicating with something intelligent a lot of times, but I really can't say for sure without a doubt what it is. And I don't think there's anyone that can say that.
Right, you don't know that if it's spirits that have passed. It could be something just saying that.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah,
you never know.
We were talking about that the other day. You know, is it an extraterrestrial that's portraying a spirit to mess with our minds? You know,
yeah.
Is it a demon portraying to be a little kid? You know, that happens quite often. You know, something's acting like a small child to play off of your emotional, you know, aspect of it being a deceased child needing help or whatnot, but is it really, it could be a demon, you know, trying to just manipulate you. You know, we don't know everything when it comes to this yet, and that's why it fascinates me. That's one of the reasons I do it, and I'm going to keep doing it as long as I can.
It's Coast to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis, and we are talking with Dave Spinks, paranormal investigator. He's telling us of his travels and what he's experienced, and one of the things I definitely, you know, I want to get into some of your ghost stories. I know recently you were at the Bobby Mackey place, and I know that's freaky scary, and you weren't far from me. Next time you got to get a hold of me and I'll meet you out there. But tell me what happened there, because anybody that ever goes there always has something scary, freaky, and that they'll never forget happened to them.
Well, as always, at a location like Bobby Mackey's, you're going to get a lot of really, really good ghost box responses, a lot of good EVPs usually. And this time was different. I was there with some friends of mine, Sean Austin, who's on the show Demon Files, a friend of his, Phil, and a guy they call L.A. Beast.
Whoa.
He's another YouTuber. And anyway, long story short, we went up into Carl's apartment. Carl actually claimed to have a possession from Bobby Mackey's, and we were up there doing an EVP session, and I said, if there's any spirits here that want to communicate, can you tell me your name? And nothing. And then I said, Carl, if you're here, can you tell me yes? Immediately, we got a response of yes. Got it on the recorder. And I said, Carl, tell me something. I said, is the basement here really a portal of hell? And immediately, it said, yeah. So, you know, that, to me, EVP work is probably the most compelling type of evidence you can get as far as really good evidence other than capturing something on camera, you know.
Right. And,
you know, you can't explain that away so easily when you get a response on a recorder of another voice that was no one in the room with you or no one in the building with you. And to me, and it's an intelligent response at that, you know. So, and we not only got one, we got two Class A EVPs just in that apartment. So then later on, we went down to the basement, which the basement, everyone knows, is very notorious. They call it the Hell's Gate and all kinds of things. And so we're down there, and we're just filming, doing some stuff with some equipment. And I went over to get some other equipment from the table, and the other three guys were standing there just, you know, trying to communicate, trying to get responses. I came over, set the piece of equipment down, and when I went to get that equipment, I set a little can of Copenhagen, because I do chew.
And, yes, I remember that.
And
watch out.
Empty. You know, I just set it on the table, and we were over there. We started doing a session again, and then we hear this loud clanging noise. And we're like, what the heck was that? So we flip on the light, and there is my Copenhagen can. 30 feet it was from us, but it was thrown at us and landed on the other side of us, in approximately 30 feet away from that table where I set it down.
Wow, did you get
so that?
That
was a little unnerving.
Yeah, did you capture that? Did you?
No, we did not capture it because the way the camera was pointing toward the equipment we had setting up, you know, it just didn't capture it, because I think it was thrown either behind us or over our heads, but I do have the sound of it hitting and bouncing around. So it's really interesting. You know, that was kind of unnerving that something had enough juice to pick an object up and throw it that far.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we were the only people in the whole building, you know, besides the woman upstairs who just has to stay there while anyone's in the building. So,
right.
Pretty interesting stuff. You know, when something can manipulate objects like that, that's very eye-opening to me.
When you, you've been talking about different equipment, can you, for other people that want to go out and do it as much as you do, which it seems like you're doing live investigations all the time, when, you know, Facebook is a wonderful thing for sure. And, you know, I'll see you pop up. And, you know, the thing about Facebook too is when, you know, I'm not on it all day long, so I'll just see what passes by when I happen to be on it. And it seems like you're going all the time. So, but you're always doing something live. So when people are wanting to do some live investigations and do the same thing as you and let everybody watch as they do it, what are the tools that you use just in general to do your research, and what tools should people use to show it live as you do on their page?
Well, you know, that's a good question, Connie, because I think there's kind of two classes of paranormal folks. I think there's paranormal enthusiasts, and then I think there's people like me and a lot of the folks I work with who actually live this life, and we do it all the time. You know, paranormal enthusiasts would be you going out to a public ghost hunt, you know, with 50 other people at a location. So with that being said, I feel, and I tell people this all the time when I'm doing conferences and lectures, because I get this question a lot, is I tell folks, you don't need all this fancy equipment. You know, your best piece of equipment is your body, your senses. If you can take just a recorder, a flashlight, and some sort of camera, that's really all you need, unless you're living this life and you're actually investigating all the time. You know, you don't need to go buy a bunch of fancy equipment and stuff like that to do this.
But you need a few things. You need definitely a couple of things when you do want to get started into it. And by the way, those tours with 50 people, those are the when you go and do that, you might get some really good stories and learn some really neat things, but it's very, very, very rare when good things happen anyway. And but it seems like when there's 50 people, it's not happening. When there's a couple of you, it's going to happen. So Dave,
there's
hang in there.
Too much risk of contamination, you know, and if you want to really start getting into it, I highly recommend getting some type of EMF detector, because that's always good. And, you know, a good digital recorder, a good camera that shoots in full spectrum or infrared, and definitely have a flashlight with you, because you're going to need it so you don't trip and break your leg.
That's the biggest and best one to get. So hang in there, Dave. We're going to have to take a break here, and we'll be back with Dave Spinks, paranormal investigator, here with myself, Connie Willis, and Coast to Coast AM. It's Coast to Coast AM and Connie Willis here. Red, red wine. Are you enjoying some of that right now? What? What? Oh, okay. Anyway, hey, I do that because I'm a chef. I can do that, right? Not doing it on the air, though. Can't do something like that. I respect George and his show. So speaking of, by the way, Coast to Coast Insiders, hey, you guys got it going on. You've got it made. You're smart people. To be a Coast Insider, it's only 15 cents a day. You know that you can, if you happen to fall asleep in the middle of the night to the show, we don't take offense to that. We know it's just very late and maybe you're tired. And you got to work in the morning. So you guys have the intelligence. You know that for 15 cents a day, you can hear the show the next day or the next week or whenever you'd like to. Or you can go back in the past and hear past shows. You can learn anything you want. Go inside to the website and learn things that other people can't that are not Coast Insiders. So you might want to tell your other buddies to join in so they'll know what you're talking about, because you've got the inside scoop. Again, to be a Coast Insider, it's only 15 cents a day. Be sure and sign up. You're going to like it. I'm one. I'm a Coast Insider. So stick around. We've got a co-founder, I guess you're just the founder, Dave Spinks, not a co-founder, might be, but you're the lead investigator for sure of Country Roads Paranormal, and that is Dave Spinks, and we've got more to come with him next year on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast AM. Connie Willis here discussing ghost stories with paranormal investigator Dave Spinks. Hey, Dave, right before we had to go to break, you were going to, if you could list the equipment that you like to take and what you would suggest for other people as a beginner, and then equipment as an advanced to do the things that you do.
Earlier, definitely a digital recorder, multiple ones if you can. Definitely at least one infrared camera, if not full spectrum camera, and a still IR camera or full IR camera. Those would be your basic tools, as well as flashlights, of course. For the more advanced folks, of course, you want to get into multiple cameras, infrared, full spectrum, thermal cameras if you can afford one. They're really, really high dollar. Also, on the basic side, I'll go ahead and say, I think I said this before break, but you want to have a good EMF detector, because one of the main theories in the, as far as spirits go, is that when they manifest, they affect the electromagnetic field somewhat, either positive or negatively. They use the energy or they put off EMF when they manifest. So I highly recommend one of those, as well as a temperature gauge of some sort that you can monitor temperature variations with. And that's your standard, you know, for basic paranormal investigating. You can also get into some more advanced equipment, such as static detectors, laser grids, shadow detection devices, static meters. There's a whole plethora of those, I mean, that measure EMF and static electricity, motion detector lights. You use anything. Sometimes you have to think outside the box when you're doing these investigations. One thing I've been experimenting with is called infrasound. And infrasound is sound that it is below the normal range of human hearing. But whales and other animals communicate in that. It's below 16 hertz, so they communicate in that. So I'm working on a way to embed questions in the infrasound range and playing them at some of these reported haunted locations to see if I can get responses back, because a lot of times when you get true EVPs, they come back in that range under human hearing, but the recorders will pick it up. So I've been doing a lot of different things with that lately, and it's really, really interesting, providing some really good results for me.
Oh, wow, that is interesting. You're right, you do have to think outside of the box. And by the way, you know, a lot of times people want to go and buy everything brand new, but there's a lot of people that start out all, you know, they start out excited about doing this stuff. They get all the equipment, then they don't use it anymore. So it's easier to go find some used equipment that's, you know, pretty much brand new. So be sure you look around or ask your friends as
exactly.
well about
start
some
slow
of the equipment.
And build your way up. You don't have to have everything right off the bat, you know.
Yeah. But if you have the luxury to do that, go for it. I mean, heck, it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
have a great time with that. So give us you know, one of your good spooky stories that keeps you going in this.
Oh, man. I'll talk about another one in Indiana that I did late last year called the Hamilton House. And it had reports of a little girl in there, two male spirits in there that were not so nice. And I'll get right to the meat and potatoes. We were in the second floor area, sitting under this big chandelier that was reported to move on its own. And nothing was really happening. This was on a live feed I was doing, too. So I had hundreds of people watching this live. And I was sitting, kind of leaning back in the chair, and I said, "Hey, come on, show me something. Do something, please, you know, show us how powerful you are." And then all of a sudden you heard this loud pop. And literally I jumped out of my socks because it was literally that loud, you know, and it was on command when I asked it to do something. And of course, at first you have to try to debunk that. Was that just a random noise? What was that? So I start searching around and I'm getting this electrical smell, burning smell. And it leads me back to my camera rig that I had sitting on the table behind us that was turned off at the time. I wasn't even using that camera. I was using the live feed camera. And I trace it back to the battery pack on one of the lights. And I pop the cover off, and lo and behold, a AA battery exploded inside the battery pack. And I've never, ever seen that happen.
I was going to say, how often does that ever happen?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, wait a minute here. Something's not right, you know. And I pull it out. I show it to the live feed, and there's acid oozing out of the top of it. And it happened, I mean, on command when I said, "Hey, come on, do something, show me something. Show us how powerful you are." And that was the first interesting thing that happened at that location. And, I'm still just bewildered about that one. So toward the end of the night, we were packing up. Everything was packed up, taking the last loads out to the car, and I'm on the computer thanking the fans for watching the live feed. And one of the people that was with me had a Scooby-Doo luggage piece.
All right.
And there was a heavy brass lock on that thing. And the person came back in to get their last piece of gear, which was that luggage, and stopped it in their tracks and said, "Oh, my God, look at that." And I'm 25 feet away typing on the computer. And I said, "Look at what?" And they said, "Look at the lock on my luggage." And it was swinging left to right, approximately 3 to 4 inches left to right, and at a 45-degree angle. And I didn't have any cameras or anything, so I grabbed my cell phone and turned the camera on and started filming this. And it actually went on for over 6 minutes, swinging like this. So after that long, I got tired of it. I went over there and grabbed it, and I felt a weird static electricity feeling on my arm, and all the hair on my arm stood up. So I stopped the lock, and I tried to recreate it. I jumped up and down on the floor. I smacked the table back and forth. I could not recreate it. It would swing, but it would immediately stop after a couple of swings.
Wow.
It was the craziest thing.
Yeah.
And as I'm filming with my cell phone also, I'm seeing all these weird light anomalies appearing all around that luggage. So after that, we couldn't debunk it, so I said that was definitely, in my mind, paranormal. So being the person that were there, she was feeling like something was messing with her back. And I said, "What do you mean something's messing with your back?" And she said, "You know how a child will kind of want to try to climb up on you for you to hold it?" And I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "That's what it feels like." She goes, "Let's get out of here. I'm really wigged out." So I said, "All right, we're done anyway." So we go out to the car to take the last piece of the gear out. And we heard a disembodied voice out of thin air outside say, "Mama." A little child said, "Mama." And she said, hell no, I'm not your mama. And I said, oh, my God. And I said, I got to go back in. I got one more thing in the bathroom. So we went. She goes, well, you're not leaving me out here, you know, by myself. So she was following right behind me, went up to the door to go back in the building, and the deadbolt locked us out.
I don't think they liked you.
No one else in the building. We had the whole building to ourselves. The owner was gone, and we were the only ones there.
How do you explain that? You know?
Stuff that will make your hair stand up.
Yeah, how do you explain that stuff? I know that, you know, you don't know what it is, but what is this? I mean, that's not a coincidence. These are multiple things that are going on that are not normal.
Exactly, and that's, you know, that's what you look for, stuff like that that you just cannot explain rationally. So I had to spend the night there at a hotel and call the owner and say, hey, you know, I need to get my stuff. When we, you know, we were locked out of the building. He said, what do you mean when you're locked out of the building? I said, something physically locked us out of the building. And I could see in the window of the door. There was nobody there, and the deadbolt locked on us from the inside.
Now, when you went back to get your stuff, was it open?
No, he had to come and open us. Open the door and let us in. So that was a really crazy night, you know, and that was one of the most hair-raising experiences as far as objects being manipulated, a battery blowing up, you know, and being locked out of a location.
What else have you experienced that was not ghost-like? Is there anything you can describe that you know is not ghost-like?
Yeah, sure. I was up at Point Pleasant with my good buddy David Weatherly, because we're doing a lot of stuff together.
Yeah,
and
Mothman.
We went out to do some investigating on the Mothman.
Yeah.
So when we go on these locations, we do everything. We research the area. We try to find out hauntings, you know, monster sightings, the whole nine yards. So we go out to the bunkers where all the explosives were stored, where a lot of sightings happened during the whole Mothman sighting era when the bridge collapsed and everything.
Right.
And kids claimed of being chased by a flying winged creature, you know. So we went out there at night, of course, the first night. And we're just doing some EVP work and other things, looking around, seeing if we could spot anything in the night sky with different, you know, thermal equipment and whatnot. Not much happened the first night, so we went back out there during the day because we wanted to get a better look around. Well, we come upon this deer carcass laying next to the road. Now, I've been a deer hunter my whole life, and we got out, looked at this thing, because I looked at it from the car, and I said, something doesn't look quite right with that deer. Got out, the whole face of this deer was pretty much just gone.
Mm.
It had one jawbone left, and you could see the vertebrae sticking out, but there was no bullet holes in it. There was no tracks around it. There was nothing that would explain why this carcass was there and in that type of configuration. There was no scavenger marks on it where they would, you know, normally they'll eat the entrails and all that good stuff out first, and none of that was touched. So we got to looking around. We couldn't find any foot tracks, anything like that. It was almost as if it was possibly dropped from the air, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked, you know, we stayed around, took a bunch of pictures and everything, and as I was getting back in the car, I looked down the road, and I see what I can only describe what looked like a chupacabra-type dog animal.
Ooh.
During broad daylight, and I have it on camera. I haven't released it yet because we're still analyzing, trying to get the best picture.
Ah, we could have had an exclusive tonight.
But, yeah, so we see this weird-looking dog-type creature. And it's real small, you know, something that I would call along the lines of a chupacabra-looking type animal. And as far as that goes, I mean, it went into the woods. We filmed it for like 4 minutes, went down to it, tried to get it more footage of it, and it was gone. So, you know, I believe we had a couple of very interesting encounters there and some evidence of something strange going on.
Oh, my gosh. That's one of the places I want to go to. That's like one of the creepiest things ever is Mothman and the stories and what they look like and the way that people talked about them. Now, when you talk about that little chupacabra and you got a video of it, so is it pretty clear, like when you do bring it out, we're going to actually see it very clearly?
It's looking pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great.
It was a good 100 yards downrange from us. and it's either going to be, you know, just the mangiest looking dog you've ever seen in your life, or it's going to be possibly something else. So, but it didn't move like a normal dog to me. And you know, David thought the same thing. So we're still kind of analyzing it, trying to do some stuff with it and see what we can come up with on it. But, you know, just strange, strange stuff. And people report strange stuff there still yet to this day. You know?
They do. They do. Somebody, they were talking about like a curtain of like a portal kind of thing going on there. And that's what they said. Maybe all the stuff was coming in and out of. And they actually saw a, you know, they described it as a curtain that had pulled back and things came in and out of it. And
yeah. Anything's possible in this, you know, to me. And you have two major rivers that cross right there. It's setting right on the river, both of those rivers. You've had the explosives plant there that, you know, actually built components of the first atomic bomb. So there's right now there's a big dog man thing going on up in there in that area. A lot of people hearing strange noises that are not normal, and it's a really, really exciting area to go to and investigate and research.
Maybe what you saw wasn't Chupacabra, but was a puppy man or something instead. Maybe it was just a little bitty.
Who knows? You know,
maybe
it
was a puppy from Dog Man.
Yeah, you never know. But that's a dog man be more like along the lines of a werewolf in my view. But that thing with what I could only describe as what they describe a chupacabra as
I'm looking forward to that video. I really am. Well, by the way, everybody, this is Coast to Coast AM that you're listening to. This is Dave Spinks that is talking, and he's a first-time guest, by the way. Dave, time flies when you're here on Coast, without a doubt. So tell us your next adventures.
Well, I have a whole week of investigations coming up in guess what state? Indiana.
Oh, the Hoosier State.
Yes. Been doing a lot of research and a lot of investigating up there because there's a lot of stuff tying into some stuff we are working on, and a lot of Native American ties up in that area. And I'm really excited about the locations we're going to be headed to. We're going to a new location called the Randolph County Infirmary and stopping by the Belair House, the infamous Belair House in Ohio on the way up. And one other location I don't want to release yet because I don't think it's ever been done the way I investigate, so I don't want people trying to beat me to the punch.
I know, right? You got to be cool about that stuff.
A famous serial killer case, though. I'll let that part of it out.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that. We just hope that you bring us a lot of good stuff, and you can always post it, of course, on Coast to Coast as well. We always love that, especially from those that we know are credible and join us and our guests here on the show, too. So if real quickly, if you can give us any advice for any ghost hunters out there or any entity hunters or researchers.
I would just say for folks to, out of my own personal experience, whatever your belief system is, to definitely use protection prayers of whatever means you use before and after you leave, because I have had strange things follow me home after some of these locations. And, you know, just really, really be safe. If you can start noticing anything different about after you come back from one of these places, you know, you might want to just go get blessed by your clergy or however you do things, and just to keep it on the safe level, because it can be dangerous, folks. I don't take that lightly.
And, you know, I'm glad you said that, because it is true. A lot of people just go thinking it's a lot of fun and games. And even if you watch any of the shows where it's real people telling their stories, they're all like, I didn't believe it before. I didn't even want to get into anything like this before. I just moved into a house and there it was, and this stuff is real. Or other people, you know, they just kind of start playing, you know, seeing it on TV and it looks fun, or from friends, and they think it's going to be just fun, especially
exactly.
With Ouija boards and things like that too, and then they find out it can be a nightmare and something they can never get rid of. So I'm glad you said
Absolutely. That I am excited too. I have my first book coming out in the next couple of months, so
all right. And that's with Weatherly, right? Is that right? Is
yes, he is
David Weatherly helping
me, and
okay,
he's doing a lot of the research for me, and I'm just telling my story. He's doing the research on the area for me.
Oh, excellent. Let him Let him do all the hard work. That's great. That's David Weatherly with Black Eyed Children.
Come on now.
You work hard. You're definitely into it without a doubt, and very, very serious when you get into the investigations. And that's always great. When we work together, man, some scary stuff happens. So, hey, Dave, thank you very much for your time. Be safe out there, okay?
Thanks for having me, Connie. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Don't bring anything home with you, or next time I see you, I don't want anything jumping off of you and jumping onto me. Ah! So, Dave Spinks, everybody. Hey, our featured guest is next, Stanley Swan. We're going to be talking about what happens to you, your body, physically after death. So where Dave likes to talk to those on the other side, if that's what we think it is, we've got Stanley who's going to tell us just what happens to you physically, because he's got the lowdown over 30 years. So stay with us here on Coast to Coast AM. Dance a little bit now.